Davis dropping into coverage. Savage from a muddy pocket, taken down. For that to be higher this year.
Yeah, they would definitely like that. And this kind of run right here will help them out to improve that stat.
A touchdown. 16 yards. Alfred Blue muscled it in there. Five in the pattern. Watson pumps and then delivers. Strike over the middle. And fumble. Fumble with football. Still loose. Huge scrum for it at the 34. Panther football. On third down. Touchdown. Deshaun Watson.
You know, my main focus is us, you know, making sure I'm doing the right things as a quarterback, leading the team, good operation, good mic points, whatever the coach asked me to do and what we game plan for.
All right. I'm not going to do the Houston, we have a quarterback because I'm not Mark Vandermeer, but there's a lot to talk about. So let's do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on. For Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe.
Greatest.
With me, Fred Fowler. A.J. Hoffman, the role model.
Hoffman.
Jong Lee, the bleeping master.
Bader.
If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler.
Social media.
F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. R-E-A-L. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O.
Bad Twitter handle.
At Degenerates 975. And of course, you can always text the show at 713-780.
Don't text and drive.
3776. And yeah, it's a Thursday. Weekend's almost here. We had football last night, plenty to get to. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports, man. What's going on with you?
Sports mostly and stuff. Busy day. But I did get to have lunch at China Garden, so that's
what. Oh, yeah?
Lunch. Yeah. Love that.
Did you have lemon chicken?
I had the, because Carol recommended that I have the lemon chicken with spicy chicken sauce once. I can't go back.
Okay.
It's fantastic. So that's my new go-to. But so you can't be in a bad mood when you've had lunch at China Garden.
Well, that's good. I had a salad for lunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be having a very light dinner. But
I didn't want to have a salad.
Yeah. Why'd you have to have a salad?
Because my wife bought some stuff to make a salad, and she made a salad for herself for lunch. And I was sitting there about to go to work, and she brought me a salad. I was going to not eat lunch, which I tend to, I do this a lot. I'll have coffee, a protein shake. I put cold brew in my protein. And
yeah. Make it a breakfast.
That's sort of my breakfast. And then I don't usually even eat lunch. And then I eat a lot of food at dinner time, which I know is not the way you're supposed to do it. I get it. I don't need any nutritional tips. I got it. But
yeah, we'll start getting thousands of texts. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Well aware of that.
Metabolism, fact. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. But today, I was just not going to eat lunch, and today she brought me a salad. And then on the way in, I belched.
Yeah.
And it tasted like salad.
Ugh.
And it was gross.
See, you did it before the show, though. That's not.
I know. I'll do it again. I crushed an energy drink before the show started, so it'll come. But. Yeah, normally when I'm belching, it's like I've eaten a lot of barbecue or burgers or pizza, and then you get that memory of something delicious that you ate.
Yeah.
I like that. Unless you ate way too much and then it tastes a little bit like throw up.
Yeah.
That's bad. But if you eat the right amount and you belch, it can be a pleasant reminder of what you ate earlier. When you eat a salad, it's like, oh yeah, I ate salad for lunch. So that's what happened to me on the way in.
Ah. Well, what'd you think of the game?
It was preseason football, Fred.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I mean, listen,
pretty damn sloppy.
Let me say this: if you thought something was really good about yesterday's game, it probably isn't as good as you think. If you think something was really bad about yesterday's game, it probably isn't as bad as you think. I heard. I don't know. Everyone seems to be really down on what Tom Savage did. And what I saw was one bad series, one series where, and I say bad series, he had some incompletions and really didn't have much time to get rid of the ball. And then one series where they just ran and it didn't work. And then he locked in and what did he had like eight completions
eight
in a
eight.
Row.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, Tom Savage, he looked all right.
He did look all right, but I would... It's so much of this you have to couch because it is preseason.
Right.
The first two series, they were up against the number one defense. They did nothing. And,
okay.
And then the third series, they brought in the backups, and he looked the way you expect a quarterback to look in a preseason game against backups.
That's what he should do.
But I don't think he looked bad at all. And, you know, it's such a small sample size. But, yeah, you know, I don't think he played poorly. Well, I do think that offensive line was a wreck against the first-team Carolina defense.
Yeah, and, well, not just the first team necessarily, because Deshaun got sacked a few times as well.
Three times, yeah.
I'll say this, and I liked seeing what, you know, we got to see a lot of Deshaun Watson. We had a large sample size of Deshaun Watson, which I kind of thought it would be a little more evenly split, but it was clear that we were going to see a little bit of Savage, a lot of Watson, a little bit of Whedon at the end.
Yeah.
And I expected it to be sort of, you know, maybe 35-35-30 on the percentages. And that clearly wasn't – I mean, it was like 15, you know, 70-15 is what it boiled down to. And maybe even less than that of Whedon. We hardly saw anything of him.
Basically, I would say he got to throw a few passes at the end because they were trying to catch up, but –
But they were showcasing him last night, and I mean he didn't disappoint. He showed some good things. He showed some things he's got to work on. I mean he overthrew a handful of balls.
I went back and looked at it. I think there were three passes that he was really inaccurate on, and then there's some others that were close that could have been better throws. But for the most part, yeah, I thought he looked pretty good. But I have two thoughts about that as well. I'd like to see him with the ones, but the flip side is, even though he got sacked three times, Carolina was not getting a ton of pressure.
Nope.
They were pretty much playing zone, and so he had time in the pocket. That's not going to happen in a real game. Now, what he did in the pocket, I loved his – I mean, his instincts are fantastic back there. I love that he's able to take off and run, and most of the time when he did take off and run, it was the right time to do it. It wasn't one of those things where he panicked and took off too fast because he kept his eyes downfield most of the time. I loved all that, but – it's hard to get too excited when you know that a team's not really coming after you. And the breakdowns for the sacks were, and there were some, and I know David Quesenberry's a great story, but he did not have a good game last night. I don't know what people were expecting. But.
Yeah, I heard on the post game on the television show, Travis Johnson was doing some post game stuff for him. And he was like, he's on, like, and I don't know who the regular commentator guy was that was doing it with him, but he said, and he's only gonna get better. And Travis Johnson was like, yeah, he's only gonna get better. And I'm like, I don't think so, guys. I think, like, this is kind of what David Quesenberry is. And again, we've talked about this a lot, really great story, but I just have no expectations of him from a football standpoint. And I know that might sound cold, but that's just sort of realistic to me. Overall, you can see there's two things that jumped out at me last night that are going to be problematic. I mean, at least, again, it's all with a grain of salt because it's just a preseason game. But the offensive line is something that I was worried about going in, and they did nothing to make me feel better yesterday. And the secondary looks rough. And God forbid that an injury occurs to Jonathan Joseph, Kevin Johnson, or Kareem Jackson, because there's nothing at cornerback beyond those guys.
The one guy that I'm constantly baffled that he keeps getting thrown out there, and they played him in the regular season last year, and they kept saying, oh, this guy shows promise, is Nelson.
He's horrible.
What promise? And last night was brutal, man.
Oh, well, I'm confused on him, too. Like, I get, again, your options beyond your top cornerbacks is pretty limited, but that's not the answer. That can't be the answer. Can't be.
No, there's got to be somebody else, because that guy, I don't even know what he's doing on the team, much less on the field. And that's not because of last night. That's because of what I saw last year, too.
Right. And you know what? Realistically, Fred, you and I, we talked about this going into the draft, and obviously we didn't know that they were going to push all in and get to number 12 in the draft and basically be limited with everything else they could do. But, I mean, to get – basically they got – I guess they got two offensive linemen if you count Kyle Fuller, the center. But they got Julian Davenport on offensive line in the fourth round, and then they got Tresen Dekou in the fifth round to play in the secondary. They really didn't prioritize those positions, and that's what we said going in is obviously quarterback is a big need. But the positions that they need to prioritize in the offseason are those two. And if you're using a fourth and a fifth and a seventh that's not prioritizing. Mm-hmm. They use their second-round pick on a linebacker. They use their third-round pick on a running back. And, by the way, Foreman looked good, and I think Foreman can play. But that's not the positions that I felt needed to be prioritized in the offseason. And I think you're kind of seeing now – that was a real issue.
Well, a lot to get to. If you want to weigh in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll keep going with this for a while because it's...
I mean, it's the first day after a football game. Yeah, we got to. I'm about it. I'd like to hear what the people thought.
Yeah, I want to hear what you guys think.
I do think there's a bit of overreaction to, oh my God, Deshaun Watson is the truth. Let's slow down on that. Deshaun Watson didn't do anything to me that was disappointing or looked awful. Like you said, he had some overthrows. He's a rookie quarterback. I expect to see some of that.
But he didn't look like a rookie quarterback. I'll say that much.
Okay.
I thought he looked like a guy who'd been on the field before in the NFL.
He looked composed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a good thing.
But that doesn't mean... Well, and that gets back to what I was saying. When they're not coming after you and you have time to look things over, it's an easier game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'd like... If he played with the ones, he'd be playing with guys who are actually looking to catch the ball. Not that they would, but they'd be looking to catch it and getting open, but he'd also be facing a hell of a lot more pressure. But a lot to get to. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Hey guys, you can win at life if you donate to my friends at Houston Can Academies. It's that simple. Houston Can Academies, terrific school. They take in kids who have dropped out, give them a second chance, and so many of them go on and do great things. And these are good kids. Some of them had to get jobs to help their families. Some of them had transportation issues getting to school. Well, Houston Can Academies works around all of that. And those kids are going to help change the world, and you can do it. Very simple. School's about to start again. They need your donation. And by your donation, they mean cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, tractors. Doesn't matter. You got a vehicle, doesn't have to be running, doesn't have to be in great shape. Maybe it's just been sitting out there and didn't know what to do with it. Well, if you donate it, here's what's going to happen. They're going to tow that vehicle free of charge. They're going to take care of all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible. That's simple. It's really easy. So many of the Blitzers have done it. You can be the next one. You donate today, $50 Visa gift card on top of that. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
I wouldn't hold my breath if I was you. Cause I'll forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know? True friends stab you in the front.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Yeah, look, you know, again, I have to watch the tape, John. I really do. I mean, I have to study the tape, but I thought that as far as moving the ball and things like that, there were some good things. You know, then there were some things that we have to correct. You know, a lot of pressures that we haven't seen. We were really concentrating on ourselves leading into this game. Didn't do much prep work for Carolina. They did a good job with some of their pressure packages, and we've got to really do a good job of, you know, watching that and teaching our guys what happened there. But I thought all three guys did some decent things. I think the big thing tonight – a number of things. We'll start with the penalties. You know, last year, I think we were one of the least penalized teams in the league. Tonight, we had, I think, 12 for almost 100 yards. We turned it over. You know, those are the things we have to stop doing. We're never going to win anything if we keep getting penalized like that or turning it over.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. And that was Coach Bill O'Brien. He has to look at the tape.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the only thing you can really judge a lot on is the first two series. And I think the penalties, it was just a sloppily played game, which is what you would expect for a Wednesday night first preseason game with a lot of guys out there who shouldn't be out there when the real season starts. And, yeah, I don't think there's – I wouldn't overreact too much to anything, good or bad.
Well, and we also talked about they call more penalties in the preseason than they do in the regular season.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's anything to panic about, but it's it was frustrating last night. And, I like, when it kind of boiled over for me was the on the punt where – I mean, the ball wasn't even close to there yet.
Yeah,
and they
had two penalties already.
Yeah, I mean, it's just things like that, and I imagine Bill O'Brien's pretty pissed off about things like that because that's just, I mean, that's not, that's common sense. You know, those are things that that's not just like sloppy play. That's no, and I'm also curious. I wonder. This is kind of unrelated to the penalties thing. Do you think that playing time is affected different or is going to be different this year in the preseason because they do the one big cut instead of the smaller cuts? Do you think that's going to change the way coaches play in the preseason games, like how many reps everybody gets?
It probably should, shouldn't it?
I would think so, because I would think you've got a group of guys, and every coach will say, oh, every job's up for grabs in the preseason. Nobody's locked, which is a lie. Every team has guys that no matter how badly they look, how badly they play in the preseason, those guys are making the team. You know, whatever happens, I mean, he could throw 20 interceptions this preseason. Deshaun Watson's making the team. J.J. Watt is making the team. Those guys, the guys who you know are on the team already, I would think you'd see less and less. I mean, Watson's different than Watt, obviously.
Right, right.
Because Watson, you need to get some kind of reps. But the Watts, the Hopkinses, Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, guys that you know are on this team, I would think you'd see less and less of them.
Yeah.
Just because you want those other guys who are actually fighting for a roster spot to have a chance to earn it.
And you should. Those guys can get their work in practice. You want them to get out there a little bit. But I don't need to see J.J. Watt again,
nope.
Especially coming off a back injury. I got out there. He looked like J.J. Watt. He got held by two guys at one time.
Yeah.
Like he always does. So, you know, just let him get in shape and be ready for when the season starts. Thought another positive, I thought the running game was pretty damn good.
And yeah.
Everybody who was out there looked good except for, I mean, Miller only carried the ball twice.
But. Yeah. Even Alfred Blue, who I've consistently said is just a guy, like the epitome of just a guy. He had one of those days yesterday where he ran the ball well. And I think with Foreman in the mix now, you're and Akeem Hunt, I mean, you're looking at a different split this year than we've had in the past where it's, you know, you're using Akeem Hunt in gadget situations. Lamar Miller's getting the bulk of the workload, and then Alfred Blue's picking up a little bit of slack. Now with Foreman, I mean, these running backs are going to have to literally fight for carries. I thought Alfred Blue did a really good job yesterday.
He looked a lot quicker.
Yeah.
He hit the holes really quickly. And the one advantage that a guy like Blue and a guy like Hunt has at making the roster is they both play special teams.
Yes.
And they're pretty good on special teams.
You know, and this is maybe an unpopular opinion. The Texans have to do away with a fullback. I mean, I don't know that, you know, I don't know where, how many teams at this point are using fullbacks in the NFL. But I don't think the Texans' run game is significantly better when the fullback is on the field. They almost seem better when he's not on the field. And yesterday was a pretty good example because he had a hold that killed a pretty good run, and then he missed the block on that Deontay Foreman run that would have been a first down. And I don't know that Jay Prosh is necessary anymore on this team. I think fullback football is dinosaur football anyway, and Bill O'Brien's sort of slow to come around to that. But last night to me was a prime example of why you don't need this guy.
I'm kind of with you. Can't you just use a tight end if you're going to use a fullback?
Yeah,
and put Fedorowicz back there.
Yeah, or couldn't you just put Alfred Blue back there? I mean, if you really need, I mean, just have a second running back, and obviously not Foreman because he's a horrific blocker, but put another back in the backfield who can block.
Well, that's the
who
thing.
Also provides something else for you.
If you keep Jay Prosh over Akeem Hunt, for instance,
which they did last year, remember?
I think you're making a big mistake.
And I said, are you kidding? Like, no offense to Jay Prosh, he might be a really good fullback. I just don't think NFL teams need a fullback this day and age. You should have more versatility than that. And last year, I said, man, Akeem Hunt is the one running back on this team who has a special trait that you can't. Nobody else has, and that's just that game-breaking speed. And when they kept Jay Prosh and Alfred Blue, who I felt were just sort of like roster filler type guys, over Akeem Hunt, I couldn't believe it. And of course, Akeem Hunt eventually made his way up to the big team and was effective in ways. But I don't think this year, when you've got the four running backs that we mentioned, Miller, Blue, Foreman, and Hunt, I don't think that you're going to have room on a 53-man roster for a fullback.
I'm kind of with you. I think, and now, to be fair, one of those guys could easily get hurt in the preseason. It happens. I mean, running backs take such a beating. But I like what Foreman brings to the team. That's a big back who's got breakaway speed and can make some plays for you. And I like the way they ran the ball last night. And I like the way they ran the ball when Watson was in there, too. And I've always said this. If you have a good running quarterback, it helps the rest of your running game.
Yeah.
And I think that helped a little bit last night. So, I mean, those were all positives. And I'm not too worried about some of the defensive breakdowns because, frankly, it's you're playing vanilla, they're playing vanilla. And it's really hard to look at it and say, okay, these guys suck except for Nelson.
Yeah, I didn't really love seeing Derek Anderson torch Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah, that's a pretty damn good throw.
That was a really good throw.
A good throw and a great catch. So that's going to happen. But, yeah, it's not ideal. You don't want to see Jonathan Joseph getting beat in that situation. But there's not too many quarterbacks who could have thrown that ball much better than that.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze in a call. Michael, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, now, sports.
Yeah. Do I sound okay? Can y'all hear me?
You're all right. Go ahead.
All right. So, y'all talk about the preseason game. I moved to Houston, 9 months ago, and my girlfriend's actually a huge Texans fan. So I watched all last season leading up to this preseason game. I got to say, Texans fans will be the first one to tell you that Deshaun Watson is the truth and he's probably going to go and win the Super Bowl. I liked what I saw with Deshaun Watson. I agree. I love his pocket presence. He didn't get too much pressure the whole time, but he left when he needed to leave. I see potential in the guy. I think this guy could be something. I don't know what that something is. You know, it could be great. He could be a flop. But, I mean, it's just one preseason game. I know Texans fans are super excited, though, and they should be because he didn't look like doo-doo.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse, and that's kind of where I was at with it. He didn't show me anything that made me go, oh, God, this is going to be awful. Or he's nowhere near ready to play. I mean, he's clearly, he's further along than your typical first-year quarterback, I think.
Yeah, from what we saw. Now, and he played a lot last night, too, and that's going to help your numbers a little bit. But I like what I saw out of the kid. And I go back to what I said in the first segment. I'd like to see him with the ones, but I'd also like to see him in a situation where they're – and, of course, you're not going to blitz much in the preseason. Some teams do, but I'd like to see some more blitzes there just to see how he'd react to it. And he made some nice nice reads. That little slant to Hunt was a really good read and a really good pass that he got out in a hurry. And I think mostly positive, but, it's just hard to judge because you know that it's not what he's going to have to face when they start playing for real.
Yeah.
Okay. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Okay, sort of breaking. I'm not going to call this news. It's a breaking headline that was designed to get us to click on the story, which I did. From Woj. Sources, Knicks and Rockets re-engage in Carmelo Anthony trade talks. And then you read the actual story, and it just says the same thing that it's been saying for months. The Rockets are trying to find a third party. There's nothing new. So, sorry.
All right.
It basically goes through the other teams that are interested. It's the same story that has been written and read 5 million times already. Other than, I guess the Rockets have called them again. I'd be pretty much calling every day if I were trying to make that deal.
Lamont says, is Rick Smith and his people on the phone with Dwayne Brown at halftime? Probably should be.
Yeah, although I don't need to see Dwayne Brown in the preseason. I don't. I want him healthy for the regular season. He also said, if Savage is your quarterback, Texans have to be bending the knee to Dwayne.
It's funny. Everyone says, you know, when you have a mobile quarterback, that it makes the offensive line better. But that's not always the case. Because if you talk to offensive linemen and ask them what they prefer a quarterback who they know where he's going to be. They know where he's going to be. You know, offensive linemen that played with Mike Vick, they had hell figuring out where he was and where they should be blocking. They just didn't know because they didn't know what Mike Vick was going to do. Johnny Manziel's offensive line in college, I mean, it was almost impossible for them to keep up with the dude because he's running like a chicken with his head cut off. Not that Deshaun does that, but sometimes a mobile quarterback, there's ways that it does help an offensive line, there's also ways that it frustrates them.
Yeah, I think, it depends on the quarterback, and Vic was a different kind of animal. If you're back there in the pocket and extending plays when they're breaking down by going outside the pocket, I'd rather have that guy behind me. If you're taking off outside the pocket when you don't need to, then yeah, that's different. And I think, you know, from what I saw out of Watson, I saw a lot of he seemed to run at the right time, and yeah, he seemed to take off at the right time when the pocket started to break down. But he also had a lot of time before that, and yeah, I think I just don't have anything negative to say about the guy's first effort, but being mobile, all that's going to do is, what I'm more worried about is if the line doesn't get better and doesn't play better,
right?
That he's going to have to run more. And that's when young quarterbacks in particular, that's when they start making mistakes and starting to get nervous and then start taking some pops. And you can lose, you can lose a quarterback like that real easy in terms of his confidence, in terms of what he can bring to the table. So, ideally, you get Dwayne Brown back in there. They said a lot of nice things about Nick Martin for his short time out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a big addition to this line this year. And they'll look a lot different when they get Dwayne in there. I still don't know what they're going to do at right tackle, though. If Kendall Lamb is your answer,
ask another question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, on the whole, I enjoyed watching Watson out there. He's exciting.
I mean, it does bring a different energy for sure, and an energy that this team hasn't had before at that position. But there's a lot of guys who bring that kind of energy that can't play. I hope that Deshaun Watson's able to play. We just won't know until there's actual live bullets being fired. And so far, that's not what's happening.
And it's funny because I said the same thing about Dak Prescott last year.
Yep.
And that's going to be the comparison that Texans fan is going to want to make. And the reality is, he looks pretty good here. How's he going to look when he's facing real defenses? And with each challenge, he got better and better and was great. I think, but people should keep in mind, that is an exception.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is an exception. Those guys, and Andrew Luck is an exception. Most of these guys are not going to be at that level first time out when they go out and play a real defense. And that's why I hope Savage is effective for a couple of games at least.
You know, there was something they were saying on the Texans broadcast last night. I was listening on my way home. And Andre Ware, I believe, is the one who said it. I feel like he mentioned it twice in the time that it took me to drive home, that the Browns are basically the reason why the Texans have Deshaun Watson for multiple reasons. He said, obviously, the Brock trade is one reason, but the Browns should have taken Deshaun Watson number one. He made it sound like it was Deshaun Watson was somehow a de facto number one pick, and everybody was foolish to let him fall to 12 where he fell to. Did you feel like Deshaun Watson was a de facto number one overall pick?
I thought he should have been the first quarterback off the board.
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
And
but did you feel like that he should have been the number one overall
pick?
Well,
if I were the Browns in that draft, I kind of feel like, no, to answer your question, no. But that's, you've got to, he works for the team. He's supposed to say stuff like that.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's all about getting the best college player and taking him number one, yeah, sure. You can make an argument. Deshaun Watson was the most accomplished guy that went in that draft. Okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean you go. And Andre Ware, of all people, should know that doesn't mean you go number one overall, right?
Right.
Just being a great college football player doesn't necessarily translate automatically. But yeah, he said that multiple times. Like the Browns made a, and I don't know if that's a knock against Myles Garrett by Andre Ware, who I think Myles Garrett's gonna be pretty damn good. But it just seemed odd that he kept saying that he was the guy who should have been the number one overall pick.
I think he's just pumping the guy up because that's what you do.
Andre, what did Andre Ware go? Seventh, eighth?
I think he was seventh.
Yeah. Went in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah. But I think the kid's got a chance to be special. But we don't know. And I'm glad they went out and made the move. But I don't know that he was a clear number one. Hell, I think there, other than when Winston and Mariota went the last few years, there have been questions about guys being clear number one.
Yeah.
Jared Goff shouldn't have been clear number one.
Nope.
But we'll see. 713-780-ESPN. GAS, does Alfred Blue provide any trade possibility to shore up the offensive line?
I don't think so.
No.
Running backs they carry so little value in league circles. You saw what Adrian Peterson went through. Like, it's almost like, and Marshawn Lynch, they're almost not that desirable of a property. Alfred Blue's definitely not, if those guys aren't.
No, what they have to hope for is that somebody gets to be a late cut that, you know, they think can fit their system.
That's the other thing that's going to be weird because there's just one big cut now. There's going to be like one day where everybody's scrambling and everybody wants these guys and everybody wants that guy. And there's going to be people kind of fighting over them, which I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because normally there's, okay, this guy got cut today. Maybe we'll go for him. Maybe we'll wait and see what happens tomorrow. Like everybody who's getting cut is getting cut in one day.
Let's take a phone call. Brandon. What's up, man?
Hello, guys. I was just listening on the story about Deshaun Watson and Andre Ware, and what I took away from that was he was saying not that he should have gone number one, but that they messed up when they didn't take him at 12. So I just wanted to contribute that.
He said he should have been the first player taken in the draft. Andre Ware said Deshaun Watson should have been the first player taken in the draft. So maybe that's what he got back to when he was talking about Cleveland messing up and trading that pick to them, but at some point in that broadcast, he said Deshaun Watson should have been the first player taken in the draft. So, but I mean, that's one man's opinion.
Yeah, and it'll play out.
Honestly, the guy I would have taken first in the draft went 17 or 18. So, everybody's got their own opinion on these guys. Speaking of guys who went in the draft, Christian McCaffrey, I think that guy's going to be able to play. Like the fact that he was running up the middle last night, and I mean, he's got good speed to the outside. He's got good burst up the middle. I don't know how the Panthers are going to divide up their carries or how much they're going to use McCaffrey as a gadget guy, but I think Christian McCaffrey can be more than just like a package player. He looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, I need to see more, frankly, than what I saw last night, but because he did look pretty good, but for a lot of the same reasons that I thought Watson looked pretty good against that defense. So I still think if you use him right, if you put him in the Reggie Bush role, if Reggie Bush was in New Orleans, I think the guy has a chance to be a really, really good player.
Well, that's what I said. I told Jong. I said, I think that Christian McCaffrey might end up being everything Reggie Bush was supposed to be.
Yeah, I need to see more before I'll go with you on that, because I've been skeptical about him, but he did look really good, really quick, and especially running inside. That's something that I wasn't expecting. But boy, he got around that corner quick. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Friday is Trailer, Wheel, and Frame Friday. Team will be broadcasting live from the best trailer dealer in town. Trailer, Wheel, and Frame is conveniently located on 45 North, just after West Canino. Come out, catch the live shows, win great prizes, and enjoy complimentary refreshments from Cat's Coffee, Rudy's Barbecue, and St. Arnold's Brewery. Always a good thing. Couple things. Joshua says, I'm a Houston transplant from KC after watching Watson last night. I've been just hoping Mahomes looks near that good. Might take Mahomes a little longer.
That's a
project. And
major project. One that I think will inevitably fail. But crazier things.
One of these days, one of those guys is going to work out.
I don't know.
One of these days, it's going to happen.
I mean, it's almost like you're just taking a guy who's a nice athlete and you've got to teach him to play quarterback.
Yeah, but the good thing is you've got a guy there. You've got Andy Reid, who's good at that. I think if there's going to be a success story from these air raid guys, that would be the way to do it. Give him a couple of years to learn how to play.
Yeah.
So, Mac Daddy said last preseason Brock's play scared a lot of people. This preseason, Watt brings some hope for the future, just needs time. Yeah, well, the key really is there'll be adjustments. He'll make some adjustments on what he did last night when they go over it. And then defenses will look for some things that he did. And, you know, we'll see how he looks in his next start. If he takes another step forward, if he learns as fast as everybody says, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I like the guy, and so I want to point out the positives, but the reality is you just can't learn that much from one game. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Are you going to do a fantasy football special or anything on your website? We're going to do a lot of fantasy on Sports Map when that launches. And as far as a special goes, no, but we'll have Christopher Harris on in time for you to start drafting. I know we're getting close enough to where people are drafting. They're drafting way too early, but they're drafting. So we do recognize that. We will get on some fantasy at some point. Very soon. How's that?
It looks like I may have a spot to put fantasy rankings this year.
Yeah, absolutely. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
As long as the a-holes running it, don't bitch at me about the format. And, you know, I don't need that.
Standard format.
No, I'm talking about like the format of my rankings.
Oh, okay.
We don't want a list. We'd prefer you to do it in more of like an article format, like a story form. And I'm like, you want me to do a story form of fantasy football rankings? I'm not going to write for your website anymore. Thanks.
I mean, if you're a fantasy football player, who wants to go through and read a story?
No one does.
You want to see a list?
Yes.
And you want to go through and...
And that's why the website I'm talking about, I think, is out of business now.
Oh, it is out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because that's when I went out and started sports and stuff, because needed a place for those things to go. And as I recall, your fantasy rankings were just fine last year.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
That's also why I no longer do UFC betting guides, because they bitched about that.
Well, we're not going to...
That was weird, too, because like that was on that website, you could see where your articles ranked compared to other articles in the city and nationwide.
Yeah.
And those are the only things I wrote for them. I didn't write stories. I wrote those betting guides, and I wrote fantasy football rankings. And it would always be like the number one thing in the country for their stupid website. And then they would bitch at me about it.
Well, there's a reason they're out of business.
That's true.
They did the same thing when I would do like my Kentucky Derby breakdown. That thing would get just ridiculous amounts of hits.
Did they complain?
And yeah, it's like, well, that's not really your Houston Sports Examiner. It's not really Houston Sports. And they friggin' rejected it one time. And I put it up again and just put, hey, if you're going to Sam Houston Race Park to bet the races today. And
oh boy,
that for some reason was, and I admit I was a little put off because yeah, I have a little bit of experience as an editor, just a little bit, but having people getting these notifications about why this doesn't fit our specifications because it's not specific to your market and little, you know, basically trying to give me editing tips. I'm kind of like, pretty sure one of the guys that was doing that used to work for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a crap site. I'm glad I'm off it. But it's worked out because, said, now we've started sports and stuff, which is doing great. We're going to have Sports Map coming very soon, which is going to be great, and we're going to be able to do things the way we want them. And you know, the stuff that gets a lot of hits, you'll get that. You'll get your gambling, you'll get your fantasy rankings. We're not gonna, I hope I never run a business where I bitch at the people who are successful.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what, you're doing great, you're leading the country, but no, change it. Change it. Not very good. Jason said, much rather temper expectations for Deshaun Watson than hope like hell he can't be that bad like Osweiler. I think, well, you have to temper your expectations, but the beauty of things in football especially is that if guys start exceeding your expectations, that's exciting. You know, that and Texans fans need something to get excited about at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with them.
Although they were excited about Brock Osweiler last year. Let's not act like people weren't excited.
No, they were excited about it until I actually saw him on the field.
Right.
And then it kind of went downhill fast. And, boy, I just – and somebody asked a question, and I think it's a fair one, is can O'Brien develop this guy? And I think that is going to be the million-dollar question. Is Bill O'Brien going to be able to develop Deshaun Watson? Because what we've seen here over the last 3 years is a lot of not developing. And I think so. I think this is going to wind up being a really good mix, but we'll see. It reminds me of my high school baseball coach. I hit a home run one game, and he bitched at me because it would have been a ball. Yeah, that's it. That's a great comparison. Thank you for sharing that. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Hour number one in the books. Remind you that Beth will be joining us today since she wasn't here yesterday. So, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's already-